much for going quietly into the weekend on the Real Kipper and Warren Show. We are national, live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Warren, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach. I think he's got a lot to say.
There's a lot of topics to say things about today.
Well, the big one, of course, was and is captain of the New York Rangers, ex-captain of the New York Rangers, now a member of Anaheim Ducks, Jacob Trouba, out. And Doug McLean, as social media has reminded us of this, was instrumental in a trade that almost played out similarly involving the waiver wire. Do you remember that story? He had a player.
I do vaguely. Yeah. Is it
him and Berkey had a trade.
Right.
And the threat was with a no trade or a clause that if you don't waive it, I'm going to use the waiver wire and I'm going to put you through waivers.
Right. I can't remember.
Todd Marchand. Is that right?
Well, we're going to have him on.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Okay. We're going to have him on soon. He'll explain. He'll explain all of it. Also, news, Kevin Weeks from ESPN is reporting that Shesterkin has agreed to an 8-year deal, if I'm not mistaken, Sammy. Is that it?
8-year deal between 11, 5, and 12 million, which, as you mentioned at the end of.
Panarin's at 11, 6.
Yep.
We have to assume that this one minimum would be 11.75. Never 11.7. It's 11.75.
Get to the quarter right? away from the 12 mark.
But, like surprising, really not surprising. Shesterkin, we know the loyalty and his heart is in New York, but it can't be that great for him to sign a contract under these circumstances of watching maybe the start of your team. I won't use the word dismantling, but some major changes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people can go back and listen to our opening talk on Trouba if they want from the Leafs Hour, but, like, you think you and I kind of fundamentally disagree on what's happening with the Rangers, where it feels like to me this is step one, and that they're not, like, rebuilding, tearing it down, blowing it up. Like, this to me feels like their goal is to take a step back, to take two forward this year.
Yeah, and I look at the lineup and I say, yeah, it's a lineup that could make the playoffs and should make the playoffs, unless you have someone underneath that can make the playoffs. It's going to be tough.
Philly or right? Pitt or the Islanders.
I think we've seen enough that to suggest that I know Trouba hits like a truck, but up front, this team is too soft for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. You feel like you lack that bite, because Kreider to me is a guy, I know he's not like tough, but he's big and he drives the net and punches holes in defenses. Doesn't seem like getting rid of Kreider and Trouba makes you tougher necessarily. Unless they're after a certain guy that you know about or something, but I'm not sure how they get tougher by moving these guys on.
Brady Tkachuk.
Okay, let's elephant in the room. Brady Tkachuk. That's twice in our show that you've dropped Brady Tkachuk.
Well, I'm not reporting it. Brooksy is the one who put the name
Larry
out there.
Larry Brooks, New York Post. Of course, he knows the Rangers quite well.
Bendez wasn't a fan of that one. He put it on.
Is saying that Brady Tkachuk could be in play. Okay. Don't ask me. Don't ask JB. Let's ask Doug McLean, who joins us now from beautiful Florida. What's it called again?
It's a nice quarters at De Boca Vista.
Yeah, De Boca Vista. Mac, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
I'm great. I just come up from a swim, so I had to put this sweater on. I got a bit of a chill.
It's a nice one. I like it.
Thanks for letting us know that. Jacob Trouba will not feel chilled going to California. Sunny there, good weather. Where do you want to start in terms of a Ranger team that's we had maybe not as front runners to start this season, but a team that should be in the mix with 8 or 9 maybe to maybe win a Stanley Cup. So what's going on down there, and what do you make of the trade?
Well, first of all, I watched them the other night. It was embarrassing. I know you had Steve Alliquette on, and he talked about it eloquently. What's he using my line for now all the time? Like, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I just told you what I heard.
It's
like,
a useful line, Doug.
That's
it's
my
useful.
Mother's line.
Hey.
That's my mother's line. What the hell is he doing using it?
Sound like George Costanza's dad going, that's my move. That's my Why move. Is he using my move?
Stop short.
So
Stop
anyway,
short.
I watched some the other night, and look, I'm not criticizing Laviolette. He's had a great coaching career, but he runs out of steam really fast as a coach. He runs, and he's run out of steam with this group. And I, like, I'm not the big, obviously, look, Gerard Gallant got fired there, takes him to the conference final, gets fired. That's fine. We're friends, but that doesn't matter to me. I have to chuckle at Drury right now because he's got a mess on his hands. And he's affected the dressing room with a lot of talk and a lot of conversation. You got an owner there that's a volatile type of guy. You've got a GM and a owner that are going at it a little bit. And that carries down to the GM going at it with the coach. So they've got their hands full there. They've got a bit of a mess on their hands. And the team is awful. I mean, they're awful the way they're playing right now. And I don't get it because, like you guys said, were they considered a Stanley Cup contender? Not for me, but if Shesterkin gets on a run, yeah, they could be. And I don't get how bad they can be. I'm confused by that. And to get Trouba there, who is a physical guy, I know he makes too much money. I get all that. But is that going to be a difference maker? Is that going to help them?
So, Doug, do you think
And just one final thing.
Yeah, have it. Go.
This is a dream that Tkachuk's coming from Ottawa. Like, and would Ottawa be have any if that happens, they should put the team for sale. If they sell Tkachuk,
agree.
They should put the team for sale, and next guy should buy it. If they trade Tkachuk.
You just want me to hire you. That's what.
So, yeah, which one do you want to talk about? You want to stay on Trouba or do you want to do this weird Ottawa thing?
I want to talk Trouba. Or I want to talk the threat of waivers.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you about. What the hell's going on here, Doug? Like, is this...
So, just to kind of give everybody a background on this, the story that I had was that he went from a complete no move to a limited trade. He had a number of... they had an option, I think. Columbus, as Elliot said earlier, was right in the thick of things. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to go there. He said, no, I won't accept a trade to Columbus. Put me on waivers. So that was as of last night. We heard he wasn't on waivers today because he agreed to Anaheim. So that's the threat, that without a no move, the threat was to put him on waivers. And someone told me that you did the same thing. Oh, no, it was you that told
here's
me.
Here's what happened in my situation. We were coming out of a lockout, and Todd Marchant made a comment in the newspaper that the owners are putting shackles on, want to put us in shackles. That was his quote. The owners want to put us in shackles.
Sounds
in
truthful.
Other words, yeah, I didn't say it wasn't the truth. So listen. So I get a call from my owner, Mr. McConnell. And he said, who's a mouthpiece that says we're putting them in shackles? And I said, well, as you know, it was Todd Marchant's quote in the Columbus paper today. He said, I want him out of here now. Get him out of town. So, of course, Todd has a no trade clause with a number of teams. Okay. So anyway, I called Todd in and I make the deal with Berkey that we're trading. I was interested in Fedorov because I needed somebody to try to smarten up my Russian problem, Zverev. And I thought, you know, maybe the greatest player in the history of Russia would come in and maybe help straighten out Zverev. So, you know, I'm trying to even up the money. So Todd was at 3.5. Sergei was at five something. I put Tyler Wright in the deal, who we weren't playing, at $1 million, and moved him out. And we added Beauchemin, and which was a bad deal. But anyway, we tried to make it work. So all of a sudden, I called Todd in. I say, I'm going to trade you to Anaheim. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not going. I said, you're what? He said, I'm not going. I don't have to go. I got a no trade. I said, oh, you really? You do? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, that's good. I'm going to put you on waivers and maybe they'll pick you up, but you're going. I guarantee you're going. So anyway, we make the deal. We make the deal. I tell Berkey, I'm putting him on waivers and you can pick him up if you want. And, you know, go from there. Anyway, Todd was very upset. So eventually I put him on waivers and Berkey picked him up. And of course there's a big NHL investigation. The PA lose their marbles. The NHL's upset. You know, was this, so I Bill Dale, I said, investigate us. Check it out, man. Check it out. I had a bunch of people phoning me interested in Marchand when I was putting him on waivers. I don't know where he's going, but I knew he was going to Berkey. I mean, I sort of knew that. So anyway, I put him on waivers. We make the deal. I'm sitting in the stands watching the morning skate, and Chris McFarland comes up and he said, Berkey didn't take him. I said, what? He what? He said, no, Berkey didn't take him. So I go up and I phone Berkey and I said, excuse me, what's going on? Well, you know, I'm worried about an investigation. I said, there's nothing to investigate. Anyway, I put him back on waivers the next day and Berkey took him. So the deal was over. So they investigate it and, you know, so over the summer, the no movement clause became a factor because of that deal. That's what happened. The PA and everybody investigated. There was nothing wrong. I had the right to put him on waivers. Berkey had the right to pick him up and the league had the right to investigate.
Now it's almost common. Now it's the one way that you can get around that list. You think it's going to change? You think the players?
Well, if there's a no movement clause,
yes,
you can't put them on
waivers.
That's
right. That's right.
But if it's a no trade, you can. So, we'll see. I don't think they need any more than that, but we'll see. And I listened to Berkey explain it today on. There's a new show called The Sheet with some guy by the name of Jeff Merrick. It popped up on my screen today and I listened to it. And Berkey's recollection is not the same as the one you guys just got from me.
Really?
I'll tell you that.
Well, we'll get Berkey on to discuss. we'll give Berkey a chance.
Yeah, we're due to get him.
Yeah, we're due to get him back on.
Well, I guarantee you, he ain't saying what I just said.
Mac,
what
would Pat Verbeek want with Jacob Trouba at $8 million next year as a AAV and a team that's still not anywhere near ready to compete?
I suspect he wants some, veteran leadership. I hear things aren't rosy there either in the dressing room. So I think that, I think he wants maybe some veteran leadership. They want some credibility with their fan base. I hear things are raveling out of control out there as well. The coach, he's one of these guys that likes to put the players through like a 3-hour movie in a video session. So, the players like video if the video room has no lights and they can sleep. I remember the players when Hitch used to do his video sessions in Dallas, and they said it was great. If they didn't get their 8 hours sleep, they were able to make it up during the video session, during Hitch's video sessions, because the room was so dark there they could sleep. So, I think they're looking for some credibility. Pat's got to make some moves there to try to fix this thing. They've got a group there that's not playing very well. Their young guys are not playing very well. and that's a scary situation.
Okay, just one more on the Rangers, because Kevin Weeks was reporting an 8-year deal for Shesterkin. If I'm not mistaken, Elliot Friedman says it's 11.5.
Yeah. Got it. Yep.
And Mac, just the timing of this. You just traded your captain away, and then you know, is this the best time to tell everybody that you got your goalie signed, or is it the worst time?
I think it's the best time, because he's got a disgruntled group in the room. He's got and I think this gives them a better vibe. This gives them, I'm sure they liked Trouba. You know, I happen to like him. But I think that it gives a better vibe to the whole mess that's going on there. And Drury needs some friends right now. He needs some friends, you know?
Call him.
And I'm not one of them, by the way.
Write him a letter. No, you're not?
No, I'm not. Anyway.
So are they going to be using that cap space on someone else this year, do you think?
I would think definitely that if there's how much is there, they've got to do whatever they can. The Rangers are supposed to win the Stanley Cup every year. You know, so, you know, they've got to do whatever they can do to push it. And by the way, I was disappointed Trouba turns down going to Columbus. And thinking, like, aren't we past that yet? Like, seriously, what? How many? I mean, Columbus is in their fourth rebuild since I left there. And, you know, I mean, I thought that was over with, that kind of conversation. But anyway, I guess not.
We don't believe for a second that Brady Tkachuk's going anywhere. Last night, a late goal by Norris gives them a regulation win, which was almost, Mac, like a must win for them. Where do you see them hanging on to this group and letting them dig themselves out of this start and getting themselves back in the mix in the Atlantic? Or what do you do?
It's funny, last night during the game, I sent a note to a former scout of mine that's heavily, you know, watches games every night. So I sent him, I said, don't you think Norris would be the guy to move of that group?
Right.
Norris is the guy to move out. And I know, you know, Garriott has mentioned that, but I you know, I like Norris as a player. He's had some really tough injuries, but I said, wouldn't he be the guy that maybe they could afford to move out and get a solid, you know, maybe a little bit more grit into their lineup, maybe another defenseman. They really are desperately, I think they're not good enough in the back end still. So, you know what? And then he scores both goals in a 2-1 win. So I said to the guy, cancel that trade I just made. Forget about that trade. So look, you know, Brady Tkachuk, I mean, wouldn't you as a franchise dream having a guy like Brady Tkachuk?
Well, 100% like, you would, but Mac.
And
but like,
Sanderson,
you think,
too. And I look at Sanderson, what is he, a minus 15? I believe that if it was Jeff Sanderson, but I don't believe that if it was his father.
But do you think that Larry Brooks makes that name up? Like, he just completely fabricates it? Or do you think, would there be a chance that they're worried that Tkachuk won't re-sign when it's time? And, like, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he should go anywhere. I think they should do everything in their power to keep him. Do you think there's some fear there?
I would think that it's just a comment being made because Ottawa is the same old Ottawa.
Yeah,
despite all the people they've brought in and the new management, and, you know, they're still the same sins, and there's something has got to give here. They've got to get better. Ullmark's got to grab a hold of it, but they, you know, all of them have to get better. There's no denying that. And, you know, we've got to get Travis away from being he's worse than the guys in Grumpy Old Men listening to Travis. So, so, you know, we've got to, you know, they've got to figure this out. And, you know, but this is the problem, guys. To tear a team down, and we've got it going on in different places in the league, to tear a team down and say, oh, we're going to rebuild through the draft, and tell me when it really works. It's like you're in la-la land. Steve Yzerman's one of the best GMs in the game, or was. He's been 7 years now trying to rebuild Detroit. Columbus has been 20 years trying to rebuild. Ottawa, yeah. 6-7 years trying to rebuild. Kevin Adams in Buffalo, 6-8 years trying to rebuild. It's not easy. And now we got the same mess going on in Chicago.
Is that what I wanted to get to? Kyle Davidson. I brought up the fact that Hagel has turned himself into a really good hockey player and a guy that I think today we can all sit there and go, what would Connor Bedard have been like with a guy like Hagel? Like, where's
what did he get?
So tell us about
what did he get for Kane? What did he get for Kane? What did he get for Kirby Dach? I know he got picks. I get that, but you got to win games, especially in a market like Chicago.
So did Luke Richardson lose his job because Kyle Davidson hasn't done his well enough?
Look, I know what it's like to be in the fire, and it's such a tough job. And like I just listed off some real smart hockey people that haven't been able to turn franchises around. It's not easy. It's really tough. But this is your Chicago market. I remember sitting at the Montreal draft, and I'm watching all these guys being dumped. And it was the glee of cap space and the glee of draft picks. And, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to start over after just an unbelievable run as a franchise. And I'm thinking, you're going to do this with a guy that is a first-time GM in the league with no limited experience in his front office. I mean, Stan Bowman was there. It was Scotty Bowman as an advisor. Kyle Davidson's there. And who's his advisor? I know he's got Norm McIver, who's a solid hockey guy, as an assistant GM. But, I mean, it's pretty thin on experience there. And they're going to turn this around. And then they've got the Bedard factor there. Like, I said in this show a month ago about Bedard was struggling, guys. Remember we talked about that a month ago? And I'm watching him now, like he can't win a faceoff. And I'm thinking, okay, just a minute. Somebody said, well, he's 19. He could play in the World Junior this year. I said, yeah, I know he's 19. Rick Nash at 19 won the Rocket Richard for me. And I don't remember hearing that he didn't have good players to play with. And that I was going to fire my coach, Dave King, because he wasn't developing Rick Nash. Like, come on. You don't think Luke Richardson tried to work and make Bedard a better player? And, yeah, he didn't bring in the A-team to play with him. But all these young superstars in the league, lots of them don't have the best play. Sid, I know, came in, and, yeah, Malkin. But seriously, Sid made people around him better. How many players did Sid Crosby make their careers? So I'm not being hard on Bedard, but because I think Bedard is going to turn out to be a great player. I really do. But look, teams are playing against him different, and nobody can tell me Luke Richardson didn't try to develop him. And nobody can tell me it was Luke Richardson's fault where the Chicago Blackhawks are today.
I do hear good things about Kyle Davidson. I really do. He's a good person, too, which I really like hearing a lot. But wouldn't it make sense to go get Ken Holland right now and say, hey, Ken, you've been around the game for like a lot of years here. Come in and just help me out.
That's my point. Listen, I don't know Kyle Davidson from Kyle Woodchuck. You know, I don't know him. And I'm probably not going to meet him. You know, probably not. You know, but you know what? That's my point I'm making. You know, this is a tough, tough job, and he's a first-time GM. You know, so yeah. I mean, there's a few. You know, Ken Holland. Well, I mean, Edmonton couldn't wait to get rid of Ken Holland. I mean, like seriously. You know, I mean, these guys are so smart. It makes me sick to my stomach when I hear stuff like that. Yeah, Ken Holland. I mean, Hall of Famer, good person, knows the game inside out. I mean, anyway, they don't like to sign these. The GMs don't hire advisors, Nick. The GMs are made to hire them by somebody above them that knows what's going on and has a clue. That's where the advisors come from.
So there's plenty of advisors, and there's plenty of the older, proven guys on Team Canada that you love. Doug Armstrong, got to be right up your alley. I imagine, as guys. He picked for Team Canada for the Four Nations face-off. All the rosters have come out. I'm sure you're thrilled about the event and to talk about it with us here on Sportsnet. What did you think about the roster reveals and how things are shaping up?
I can't say I paid a whole lot of attention to it. I don't know. There's a few surprises, but I think Canada looks like, to me, well, first of all, every team is really good. I looked through Sweden. I mean, Sweden's loaded. Got a hell of a team. Yeah. They got a hell of a team. Finland, good team. Everybody's got pretty good goal. I'm a touch nervous about Canada's goaltending. I'm a touch nervous. I love the leadership. I love the Stanley Cup pedigree with Team Canada. How many Stanley Cups on Team Canada? How many Stanley Cups on Team USA?
I don't know the answer. Do you?
Is it like 20-4, or what would it be? I didn't really count it out, but there looks like a lot of Stanley Cups on Canada, yeah. And there doesn't look like a lot on with your country's team.
Sam's on it for us.
Okay.
I just got a text from Kyle Davidson from the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, he's got a question for you, Mac. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Kyle Woodchuck.
I get it, how tough it is. But anyway, now I know why I used to get ripped all the time, because I sit back and I look and think, how dumb are some people? And they used to say the same thing about me. So now I get it. Now
I'll give yourself some credit. Listen, they still say it.
They're asking. Right now, they're asking that question. Right?
Yeah. The problem is, here's the problem with a lot of GMs. When they go to do their rebuild, they think they're GM of a football team. And if you finish last and you get the first pick, it's usually a quarterback, and that gives you a major start on your rebuild, okay? The problem with rebuilding in the NHL is you may pick fifth every year, or you may pick fourth every year. And, seriously, it's just that makes it really tough to rebuild, because you're not getting the franchise player. I was in Columbus 8 years and never had the first overall pick once. With the lottery. Not once with the lottery did we come any closer than third. And that was like, come on. Columbus have never won the lottery. In 24 years, they've never won the lottery and had the first pick. We had the first pick because I traded for it, but we never had the first pick.
Are you going back into the pool?
No, I did my. I've got a new program where I'm 45 minutes swimming.
Wow!
You know, and I finished my 45 minutes, and as soon as I finish this show, I've got a great bottle of Brunella I brought back from Italy, and I'm going to jump right into that and not worry 1 minute about Kyle and the Blackhawks,
or the Woodchucks,
or Chris Drury with the Rangers, or Kyprios and Bourne. I could care less about all you. The Brunella is a great bottle of wine.
Get yourself a straw, Doug.
From the Tuscany area of Italy.
All right. Thanks for doing this once again in your wetsuit. Jill's going to be upset if you're wearing a wetsuit on her couch.
Guys, look, you don't know how. It was great. I was leaving the pool, and they said, where are you going? I said, I got to go up and do a show. And they said, you're on TV. By the way, I went to the dentist the other day.
Oh, God.
And I've got a problem, and they've got to fix a couple of my teeth. They may have to take out my two front teeth. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I said, well, if they do,
I got to get a hockey picture first, because that's going to be my Twitter picture with no front teeth. And I said, look, I can't have my voice affected. I do a TV show in Toronto every week, and I've got to make sure I speak properly. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really enjoyed it.
At least you know what to ask for Christmas this year, your two front teeth.
See you, Matt. Take care. Appreciate it.
See you, guys.
Just some of the bizarre things that can come out of the man's mouth.
So unofficial count here.
Yeah.
I was going like 1-2, 1-2. I think it's 22-4 for cops on Team Canada versus USA.
That's like interesting.
That's counting the asterisk cops for the Lightnings, but you know, that's they're on there. So
asterisk.
Yeah.
He doesn't count the ones that were in the bubble. Where they
Oh my god.
I know.
Break.
Where they actually had to play through a 22 team playoff that year.
I mean, yeah. I thought all the the Dodgers got off the hook that year.
The game
too.
Was played under the same rules and same everything.
Because the Leafs
because
lost to
people
Columbus.
Weren't in the building, it doesn't count for you.
This is God's truth here. I'm glad the Leafs didn't win the cup that year.
I believe you.
That's like
I call BS.
No, I wouldn't want BS. That would have, you know, every single non-Leaf fan would have been like, that didn't count.
I know how desperate you are. You take anything.
No.
Okay.
Not that one.
Anything.
Not that one. Anyways, that was, 22-4, I think was the count. Anyways, you want to do game time?
All right. We got time for it. You tell me.
Yeah, we'll do game time here. Get my read. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Mentioned yesterday that the Sharks were watchable, and then they lost 8-1.
Oh, they just got it was 5-0 after the first or something.
Yeah. Turns out Lightning still pretty good. So the games tonight, the Leafs are home to the Washington Capitals, and predictably, the Leafs are pretty big favorites on home ice. They're 12-3-0 there now this year. I think it's the best record in the league for any team at home. So they are a -150 favorite on home ice against the Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals are the second best team in the league, and they're coming in here as a +125 underdog. So maybe a little bit of value on them, but the Leafs have been pretty good at home.
Rasmus Sandin going to score?
So it should be a great game tonight. That is a definite possibility. Big one tonight for the New York Rangers. They just traded their captain and they just signed their goalie. Going to be a really interesting game to see how they react to those two things. They are very heavy favorites tonight at Madison Square Garden, -185. The Penguins are +155 on the money line on the other side of that. I have no idea what's going to happen. They could just light them up and they could, you know, be happy, or they could, you know, they could suck and just be sad. I don't know.
A normal outcome for this game, they win kind of 4-2.
Yeah.
It feels like they're not going to win 4-2.
Yeah.
It feels like they're going to win 6-0 or lose 6-0. But
that both of those feel very predictable. And then the last one I'll bring up, a good one in Vegas tonight. Dallas Stars in Las Vegas to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Stars are -120 on the money line, a slight favorite. The Vegas Golden Knights at home are a slight underdog, +100. That should be an awesome game.
And Vegas at home for +100, yeah. Pretty good.
That's a pretty good game, too. So, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
We have yet to put out a request for text.
Oh, yeah, text.
Please text 590-590 if you have any questions for the show. When you come back from break, which Kip will send us to in a moment, we will answer some of your texts.
Text 590-590-590. Text us. Thank you.
All right. Great segue.
Thank you.
Into commercial break. Plus, we'll talk a little bit more about Trouba. I don't think he's going to. My sense is he might not be there that long.
Like this year.
That's what we'll discuss.
I look forward to it.
After the break.
All right.
More Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reminder that this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. As we close out our last segment, we got news and notes. Text 590-590. I just left it kind of hanging before we went to break on Trouba, and I'm sure Doug McLean's right on Pat Verbeek going after Trouba in this deal. And it's not like Trouba's like 34 or 35. He's 30.
Yeah.
So probably he sticks around, but is there an option for him to flip Trouba? And maybe it was discussed through this whole thing or not. Like, come to California, see how you like it. If you're comfortable, then stick around and help me build, or I'll move you. And Just one more thought. Yes, the money next year is his AAV's $8 million. I'm not sure where the real money is, though. It might be his $6 million of real cap money based on how bonuses were played out. But if Pat Verbeek was to pick up half of it and bring him down to a $4 million AAV, how many teams would be interested in him at the trade deadline at that number? Because I was told, like, everybody, there's so many teams that kick tires on different scenarios to get to Jacob Trouba. Vancouver, very interested.
Oh, yeah?
Winnipeg, very interested in Trouba, but couldn't find a way to make it work. And also the fact that is Trouba coming to Canada, right? A lot of those guys, Americans, like Chris Kreider and Trouba, they're just not interested in playing in Canada. And that, we know he played there before, but maybe not willing to go back.
So that's how you use the salary cap to gain assets. The Anaheim Ducks had the lowest salary payroll this year. In the NHL, they acquired Trouba for $8 million. As you mentioned, $6 million real dollars is what he was owed. If you then retain half and trade him, you can, I mean, for what went out, Urho, Vakanainen, and a fourth, how much more are you going to get for a half-retained Trouba? You're going to get first.
He still hits like a truck last time I checked. How about a first or how about maybe even two firsts?
You might. Think about what goes for 2 seconds at the deadline. David Savard.
I'm telling you, there's big-time value in there. And he's got an asset right now.
I think, is Kurt Overhart his agent? Am I wrong about that? Whoever it was.
Yeah, you might be right.
So I think he had permission from the team to talk to other teams and sort of pre-negotiate some of these deals. You wonder if they said, listen, we know your wife is in a residency in New York City. Go to Anaheim for this little bit. We'll try to get you back to a contender at the deadline. Or we'll try to do, you know, if it doesn't work, you don't like it, we'll get you back.
Maybe the Devils could take him.
I could see the Florida Panthers taking
That's what it is.
Oh, God.
That's what it is.
That is so right.
Isn't it? $4 million, Trouba, all of a sudden, instead of having Kulikov in your top four, you got Trouba.
Why are you cringing, Sammy?
Because I'm just picturing somebody with their head down, I don't know who, and him exploding it.
Matthews or Marner?
And exploding him and changing a playoff series with the Leafs and the Panthers.
That's what.
Yeah. Corey Perry on John Tavares. Yeah,
something like that. Like, you can just picture it.
You got Tanev now and McCabe. Don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, listen, if Jacob Trouba goes to the Florida Panthers, that's something I'm not going
to
enjoy.
It's just something to think about.
Yes, it is.
With Trouba going to a team that isn't or won't be ready to compete for a long time, and who knows how long they're going to lose Zegras.
Because otherwise,
who's out now indefinitely.
Yeah. Otherwise, it makes no sense for me. Like, the Ducks aren't trying to win immediately. You would have to re-sign him, obviously, and it's tough sell for a guy in his 30s who's never won a cup to say, do you want to move across the country and commit to 8 years or whatever his next deal is going to be, 6 years or something. So even if it's next year that they decide to flip him, I'm sure he's going to want to be on a Stanley Cup contender at some point. So
all right, we got a few texts here.
All right.
So this is a one just from Calgary. There's a couple Calgary texts here, which we love. First one is, your thoughts on the overtime goal in Calgary last night. You guys see it?
Great question. Yeah. Yes, great question.
Good goal? I thought good goal.
I think it was in the kind of pushing the pad back, but it's clear how much of a loose puck. If it was in tighter, it didn't even have to be underneath his pad, but if it was pressing up against his pad.
There was some separation there?
If there was no separation, yes. If there was no separation, then Calgary had a real strong case.
Yeah.
But because there was so much separation and he got his stick on the puck first,
It's like one of those trips when you lunge at a guy and you hit the puck first and you follow through and take the skates. They still call tripping there quite a bit. He definitely pushed his pad, pushed it back into the net, but I'm with you that he has fair claim to make a play on that puck. I think it stands. Montgomery was like, we didn't think it was close.
Yeah, he was on pizza. He was eating pizza.
I was in the back eating pizza. I thought it was a goal, and I loved Parayko, Team Canada, hammering it at home.
Yeah.
Love to see that.
And Huska, he didn't really complain about the goal so much as he complained about the lack of explanation from the referees.
So this one's from Derek in Red Deer. The boys on 960 in Calgary were talking about trading or re-signing Rasmus Anderson. My question, if contracts were equal, who would you rather have over the next 8 years, Rasmus Anderson or Mackenzie Weegar?
I love that question.
Anderson.
I also think I would choose Anderson.
I love Weegar too.
Yes, and I'd like to be clear on that. I love both these guys.
Yeah.
No, I like Rasmus more.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. He's a thumper. Mm-hmm. Was Berkey always calls him Fat Raz?
Fat Raz, really?
Yes, he used to come to camp a little large, but yeah. he's a big nickname. Well, it's like Bufflin, hey, you know.
And he hammers the puck.
Yeah, and I love the stare he gives to the fans when he scores.
He'd be a good D partner for Morgan.
Yeah.
Max's point, you can't trade good players. He's got good years left. You want to be good. You need players.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
I think he's
30.
Maybe. No, I don't think so. Late 20s, maybe? Rasmus Anderson, got that for me?
Okay, so he's got 28. One more year.
Yeah. 28.
28. So 29, he'll have, he can sign an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
And I think Calgary has to sign him because he could be around in the new building.
Yes.
Kadri can't, but he can.
He's playing 24.50, has 15 points. 24.50 per night. You think Kadri can't, eh?
No, well, he can, but it's 37, 38.
Yeah.
And I believe that Kadri is going to be a good player at 37. I really do. His skating is strong enough that I think when he goes into his late 30s, it won't slide. And I think he's smart enough to be a perfect number 3 on a Stanley Cup contending team.
Yeah. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs. Next text here, and I think I know you both have your answers to this question, but evening, gentlemen. Should the NHL have given some more thought to adding a Team Europe and maybe a Young Guns prospect team to the tournament? Such a disappointment to not have great players from Czechia, Russia, Germany, et cetera, represented, and it makes this thing feel a little bit small. Cheers, Steve Zed in Mississauga.
I wrote an article for my weekly Toronto Star on international hockey and where's it going and how quickly can they rebuild it. But I did use Young Guns, Team Europe, and lack of credibility in one sentence.
About that, it gave that other event a lack of credibility, the World Cup.
Yes.
The under 23 thing, like, made me more mad than anything. It's so arbitrary. It's like, we have a blonde team. Who are the best blonde players? And we'll take them off your country. It's like, what do you mean you're going to take our best under 23? They took Connor McDavid. You know, and it's like, we can't figure out who has the better players when you just randomly take people off the teams. It made me so mad.
Entertaining, though. Like, you know.
One of the best hockey games of all time was Sweden versus Team North America.
Great players were on the ice. It was fun to watch. No one is saying it wasn't fun to watch.
Okay, it was fun to watch. But
the same way a scrimmage is fun to watch.
It was an unbelievable hockey game. It was an unbelievable hockey game.
It was a great exhibition game.
It was unbelievable hockey game.
But there was
one of the best I've ever watched. There was stakes.
Nobody remembers it.
Of course there was stakes.
Nobody talks about that game or remembers it.
I do.
You're weird. Okay.
But you're talking about it the way you talk about, like, the Leafs coming back from 5-0 in Columbus to lose 6-5. Like, it was a
nobody,
game you remember. Doesn't mean it matters.
Nobody's
mattered.
At a bar right now talking about that game.
No, they were for a year after it happened.
Because we're desperate for any form of best on best.
I do remember a save that King Henry made on MacKinnon, though. I remember.
Yeah. Well,
but it was like the overtime was back and forth. It was breakaway, and then MacKinnon.
Okay, you're not helping my point.
MacKinnon.
Nobody talks about that game.
And then MacKinnon walked in on Henrik and toe drag, top corner, backhand. Beautiful goal. That was an amazing hockey game. Amazing.
Okay.
All right. Do you think Team Canada puts Crosby, MacKinnon, and Marchand on the same line? Nova Scotia would lose its collective mind from Grand
Nova
Scotia. I think
it's very possible. You know, we never talked about it. I did lines. I laid out my lines, but I think that line's possible.
Which one? What's your number one line?
My number one line. Yeah. Oh God, let's see if I can get there fast enough. Who did I have?
Sam Reinhart.
Yeah.
Or Reinhart.
I did, but you're gonna like my line, Skip. All right, I found it. Here we go. My top line was Reinhart, McDavid, and Braden Point.
That's very good. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm liking
to me,
that.
With McDavid, is two guys who can think the game with a high IQ
fly
and are good enough to put away his chances.
That's right. Point, McDavid, and
Sam Reinhart. Second line.
That's a good hockey line.
McKinnon, Marner, and Hagel.
Oh, my God.
How fast, how smart. I figure McKinnon's punching holes in the defense.
Yep.
Marner's kind of the off-speed pitch, finding ways in through and getting those guys pucks.
Yep.
Stone, Crosby, Marchand.
Oh, man.
How smart is that line? That's an IQ line. Yep. That's, you know.
Love that.
And any sort of pressure. And then your fourth line is Bennett, Cirelli, Konechny.
Mm. That one would be fun to play against.
Trash. Yeah, right. Just being on the ice against that group.
I don't like two right-handed shots with McDavid.
You don't like two right-handed shots with McDavid?
I want a left. I want a left with him. But
No, okay.
I'm okay. Hagel, to me, comes to mind.
Hagel for Reinhart there? Give Reinhart to Marner, McKinnon?
No, I bring Point. I put Hagel up and I take Point out. I like Reinhart with McDavid. I like Marner with McDavid too, but McKinnon, McDavid, who McCares?
That's pretty funny.
I actually said my plan on building this team was like, how do you build around those guys to make them the best they can be? Because you're right. Whoever you put there, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
No one's worried like, oh, they can't keep up. These are elite guys. So.
What else do we have here? Old topic, but why does it seem like the officiating is getting worse, or is it just me?
Totally not true.
I can pick any game and have to switch it off because there's no consistency in any of the games. Yes, I know they do their best, but a hook is a hook. My worst cross-check. Get it right, boys. Jeff from Peterborough.
Jeff from Peterborough. I've been around a long time. This has just been going on from decades and generation, and it's just the way it is, and that's just part of our sport is that someone's going to go, what a brutal call.
Yes.
Are you part of the fabric.
Are you looking at me?
I think we have more officials, NHL officials now who used to be players. Like, I don't feel like when I grew up, all those guys were former pros.
Mm.
But, like, a lot of these guys have played a very high level of hockey.
You know, I forget when. Oh, yeah. Was that the – when they had that Winter Classic in Buffalo? Against Buffalo, and it was in Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field or whatever. The Leafs were awful. It's when Matthews got suspended. But I was sitting on the glass, like I was right beside the rink. And
trying to see through the bodies and make calls.
It's so fast.
Yeah.
It's so fast, and it's so physical, and it's so, like, everything happens all over the place. Just impossible job.
Tough sport.
And I hammer them as much as anybody, but it's never going to be any better than it is now.
My terrible Jeff Merrick idea is that I would like to see, like, a lifeguard chair beside the eye in the sky. And just a slightly over-the-action official.
I like that. An eye in the sky.
Really?
You can see it, although I'm sure it'd make for some viewing issues for some seats. Which...
Or you just put him up at the press box with Bonesy, and he'd yell at him. The last one that I was going to read, I just wanted to read this one here, the last one. My favorite three. Your senior lady, Judy, now living in the Corthus. When I moved from Kitchener, I was sure to bring your show with me. I don't miss your show. Don't have female friends that think alike, though. Ha ha. You guys make my day. Don't ever get rid of Doug McClain. He is such a comedy act each week. Gotta love the guy. We all need the laughter. I tape it if I am unable to watch it at that time. From Judy.
I gotta say, we've had very few in-person meetings with our fans, but there's no shortage of people who of that ilk that came to say hi to Kip. I'll tell you that. There's some listeners out there who came to see old Kip.
They've got nothing better to do. That's what it is.
We appreciate the support, though. That is nice.
Apparently, this guy says, Kipper Born, the only team Wayne Gretzky played for and never scored a goal, Peterborough Petes. He played 3 games and recorded 3 assists, traded to the Sioux. So there you go. The only team he ever made. Yeah, that's what. Hey, according to Henny, cheers from Henny.
Did you need to know that today?
Listen, Sam's full of information.
It's full of
every
something.
Day. Every day. I would have never guessed that he went 0-3.
Yeah.
Full of something.
All right.
All right. Good day. To finish off.
Quality. Lots of news today.
Our thanks to Christopher Stieg joining us in our Leaf Hour. And then, of course, on a Friday, Doug McClain.
Best of them.
Just going to Wayne Gretzky's Hockey DB. He played 3 games for the Peterborough Petes, and he did not score a goal. So there you go. And he was right.
And Greg Gilbert won a cup with the Rangers and the Islanders. Only player to ever win a cup with both teams.
Do you know what St. Nicholas Day today?
What?
St. Nicholas Day. That's my name day today.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, happy name day.
Yeah. Yes.
What is happening?
It's,
Christmas?
Is no, that's Santa? My big fat Greek wedding.
I don't know.
Nick.
It's all the doctor,
St. Nick's Day.
Nick.
Sammy.
Buddy, I don't know. We gotta go.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody.